This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
President Bush leaned on senators to back his call for nearly $87 billion in reconstruction and military aid to Iraq and Afghanistan, even as some Republicans attempt to make Iraq repay part of the money. The White House has launched a vigorous lobbying effort to kill loan proposals as the Senate and House get ready to vote on the huge spending measure this week. Bush's budget director called on senators of both parties last week to get them to oppose amendments to make part or all of the bill's $20.3 billion in reconstruction funds alone. The administration says a loan would burden Iraq with too much additional debt. Republican Senator Susan Collins of Maine said she did not want U.S. taxpayers saddled with the cost of rebuilding Iraq when the U.S. economy is still fragile. A remote-controlled bomb tore apart an armored vehicle in a U.S. diplomatic convoy Wednesday, killing three American security guards and wounding a fourth in an unprecedented attack on a U.S. target in the Palestinian territories. The attack on a convoy of diplomats entering Gaza was a dramatic departure from typical militant operations, which usually target Israeli soldiers and civilians. It was almost certain to lead to greater U.S. pressure for a Palestinian crackdown on militant groups. Labor unrest spread in California on Wednesday as bus drivers walked out in solidarity with striking transit workers. 70,000 grocery clerks from three chains spent their fourth day on picket lines, and nearly half of L.A. County Sheriff's deputies called in sick Wednesday. Criminal prosecutors at the Justice Department and top FBI officials have privately criticized Attorney General John Ashcroft for failing to recuse himself or appoint a special prosecutor to investigate the leak of a CIA operative's identity. The criticism reflects the first sign of dissension in the department and the FBI as the inquiry nears a critical phase. The Attorney General must decide whether to convene a grand jury, which could compel White House officials to testify. Mr. Ashcroft and Alberto Gonzalez, White House counsel, have also been under fire for their initial handling of the case. The Justice Department allowed the White House to wait overnight on September 28th before sending notification ordering White House employees not to destroy records related to the leak. More news after this.
If you play your guitar on 10, then you're strong. Recommend that you talk to the folks in here. They will make it clear that the ringing in your ears, oh, is something to be feared. It will probably never end. So make your ears your friend.
A wayward deer entered a clothing store in Linden, New Jersey, and wandered around for more than an hour Monday before it was shot with tranquilizer darts by police. The full-grown antlered buck was expected to be returned to the woods once the tranquilizers wore off.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, Sneezy, go to sleep.
I can't.
You could if you take NyQuil. It'll help your symptoms. So you'll sleep great. You know, like you do when we cuddle on the couch with a warm fleece blanket, a cozy fire, and a chick flick.
Now, that's my kind of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved Liquicaps.
The rabid partisans of the Republican far right truly loathe Senator Paul Wellstone, the spirited and popular Minnesota progressive who died in a plane crash last year. In a testament to their partisan loathing, Minnesota right-wingers have put out an ugly post-mortem bumper sticker that angrily says of Wellstone, "He's dead. Get over it." But Paul, or at least his spirit, just won't die. Indeed, Paul and his wife Sheila, who also died in the crash, are now the rallying point of an important and exciting organizing effort to carry their spirit and policies into a long-term campaign to build a progressive future for our country. It's called Wellstone Action, and it literally is taking action to bring power back to America's grassroots. Among modern political figures, Wellstone was unique, for instead of throwing all of his campaign funds at pollsters, consultants, and TV ads, he put a big percentage into grassroots organizing. He and his staffers ran a series of weekend political boot camps called Camp Wellstone, where they trained thousands of volunteers, campaign managers, and future candidates. By strengthening the civic skills of on-the-ground people, Paul strengthened his own populist base, enhanced democracy, and extended the framework for an ongoing progressive movement. Now, the good people who worked with Paul and Sheila are continuing this democracy-building effort by taking the Camp Wellstone concept national. Wellstone Action is holding 9 or so intensive training camps this year in Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania, with about 20 Camp Wellstones planned cross-country next year. If they build it, people will come, for folks are thirsting for community and a politics that matters, and this is one political effort that genuinely puts people first. This is Jim Hightower saying, to connect to Camp Wellstone, call 651-645-3939.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
This time we'll say bye to you. Say bye to song we can
Fritz
sing.
Acres.
This time we'll say bye.
Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces. The phone number is 800-TALK-YES. And you can email during the program, like dmalloy at earthlink.net. Did any of you see Rumsfeld's press conference today, Department of Defense press conference? He is, I think the crack Pentagon press corps smells blood in the water, his blood, and they really went after him. So, and some of the things he said were astonishing. Like that's something new, right? But we will have some sound for you coming up here very shortly, because there are two stories that pertain to Rumsfeld's press conference today that we want to cover with you. Some of the stuff you'll hear Rumsfeld say, if you haven't already, makes his old comments about attacking the moon. Remember that? Or the moon attacking us seems sane in comparison. Trust me on this. We'll have that for you in a few minutes. Sandy sent me an email. Just for your information, well, here's what happened. Last night we were talking about the George Nethercutt story. That's the Republican thug from Washington State who said that, you know, the media has really got it wrong, that all the wonderful things happening in so-called post-war Iraq. I don't know why they call it post-war Iraq. It is a war zone. But that's how these Republicans think. Anyway, Nethercutt said a lot of good stuff going on, and talking about a couple of dead soldiers every day is not really the story. You remember that. So in talking about that, I said that Nethercutt was elected in, what, 94 in Washington State and unseated then-Speaker of the House, Tip O'Neill. My bad! Sandy emailed in, yeah, Nethercutt was elected in 1994, and he did unseat the Speaker of the House, but it was Tom Foley. So I just, you know, I no excuse, just you get a brain like mush, right? A brain like mush. I forget what we were talking about last night, but it was horrific and scary and stupid. Anyway, Sandy said, interestingly, Nethercutt ran almost exclusively on the issue of term limits. Well, that was the Contract on America put together by this pig, what's his name, Newt Gingrich. Term limits, yeah, right. But in the elections of 2002, he had obviously changed his mind on term limits, Sandy writes, saying that he believed it was more important to keep his seat than honor the term limit pledge he had made in 94 because he had attained a leadership position. Right. And Sandy writes, ha, what greater leadership position in the House than Speaker? Just another wretched Republican hypocrite. Yeah, that's true. Anyway, so, yeah, my bad. It wasn't Tip O'Neill. Tom Foley. Clinton, Bill Clinton, former President Bill Clinton, the guy who brought 8 years of mostly prosperity and great chunks of peace until he went off his nut and insisted that NATO bomb the hell out of Middle Europe. Let's pretend like that didn't happen. You know, unless you're a dead Yugoslavian or the family of a dead Yugoslavian, you can pretend that. Okay, let's pretend that. Former President Bill Clinton warned George Bush before he left office, before Clinton left office in 2001, that Osama bin Laden was the biggest security threat to the United States. Now, Clinton was speaking at a luncheon yesterday sponsored by the History Channel in New York, and he just said it categorically. He discussed security issues with Bush in what is referred to as the exit interview. When, you know, one president leaves, a new one's coming in. That's formal and yet pretty candid meeting between a sitting president and the new guy that's coming in. And I can't imagine what that was like. Somebody with, love him or hate him, Bill Clinton has an amazing intellect, and love him or hate him, George Bush has the mind of, a collie. So it must have been one hell of a meeting. But there sat Clinton trying to explain to too stupid to be anything that Osama bin Laden was a major threat to this country. Clinton said, quote, in his campaign, Bush had said that he thought the biggest security threat was Iraq and that we needed a national missile defense. I told him that, in my opinion, the biggest security problem was Osama bin Laden, end quote. Now, Time magazine, if you remember, reported last year that a plan put together during the Clinton years for the U.S. to launch attacks against the Al-Qaeda network. This is prior to 9/11. That plan was ignored for 8 months by these killers, murderers, and incompetents that represent the Bush administration. And the plan was approved a week before the September 11 attacks. Hello, too late. Now, the White House, the Bush White House, disputed parts of that Time magazine story that came out, August of 2002. A White House spokesman, Sean McCormick, at the time said, the Clinton administration did not present an aggressive new plan to topple Al-Qaeda during the transition. They really, really didn't. They didn't. Which is a lie. But everything comes out of the Bush administration is a lie. Now, at Wednesday's luncheon, Clinton said his inability to convince Bush of the danger from Al-Qaeda was, in Clinton's words, one of the two or three of the biggest disappointments that I had in 8 years as a president. Clinton went on to say that after bin Laden, he put bin Laden, the biggest threat to this country, the next security priority would have been the absence of a Middle East peace agreement. That's number two. And number three would be proliferation of weapons of mass destruction. Clinton said at the speech, quote, I would have started with India and Pakistan, then North Korea, and then Iraq after that. I thought Iraq was a lower order problem than Al-Qaeda. So, most of you knew this. We talked about this shortly after 9/11, when the truth started to come out, that the Bush thugs, when they came into office, absolutely, utterly, and completely ignored 8 years, of intelligence had put together by intel agencies that were not out to just please the president, as this gang and the CIA and the FBI seem to do now. Just whatever President Cheney tells them to do, they do. Under Clinton, that was not the case. They were after real intelligence, like what is happening out there in the world. After the 93 bombing of the trade towers, they had to know. And the Clinton administration put it together, handed these pissants in the Bush crime family a total dossier, a total report, and the report was ignored.
Well, it had Clinton's fingerprints and God knows what else all over it, right?
Have I said yet tonight I hate these people? Okay, moving right along. The governor-elect of California, the Gropinator, has been told that he must explain the substance of his private May 2001 meeting with Enron chief Ken Lay. That's according to the Foundation for Taxpayer and Consumer Rights. They wrote him a letter, Schwarzenegger letter, Tuesday. This organization was the state's most vocal critic of Gray Davis's handling of the energy crisis. Well, yeah, before they had all the facts. They said that if the governor-elect did not recount the meeting by the time of his inauguration, the group would ask state lawmakers to open an investigation to find out what happened in that meeting between Schwarzenegger and Lay and, what, Rove? I think Rove was there, too, including any information in that meeting that might further the state's efforts to return billions of dollars that taxpayers and consumers overpaid during the time that Ken Lay, Karl Rove, and apparently Schwarzenegger and the rest of these thugs were gouging California taxpayers. Now, this is very important because California just, I don't know, what how do you explain this? They put a noose around their neck and elected the Gropinator? What? Here's a guy who sat in on the meeting. Here's a guy who has the power now as governor to end the attempts by the state of California to get a $9 billion refund from these monsters at Enron. And the people in California, they elect him governor. Oh, my God. Now, far be it from me to suggest that the people of California are the voters, the people that voted for Schwarzenegger are wacko. But if the... This is like a chicken voting for Colonel Sanders, isn't it? I mean, what about Bustamante?
Okay, he was real dull-looking bureaucrat. Okay, I'm just with the Soviet Politburo. I don't know. I haven't had a creative thought in the past 12 years, but I'm an apparatchik. I'll get the job done.
What about him? No. If they didn't like Gray Davis, okay, what about Bustamante?
No. We want the Terminator. We want Arnold. We want Arnold to run California.
So, this group, the Foundation for Taxpayer and Consumer Rights, has said, look, we want to know what happened. We want the people of California to know what happened. Now, Schwarzenegger also, and this was not talked about, in his campaign, he wants to dismantle the California Power Authority. And the... Foundation for Taxpayer and Consumer Rights identifies the California Power Authority as, quote, the state's last line of defense against a real or manufactured energy shortage, end quote. So Schwarzenegger,
he's a pro-gun control, a pro freedom of choice where it concerns abortion, pro-gay rights Republican. He's the future of America.
Yeah, and George Bush was a compassionate conservative, right? You know, my prediction, which I don't make, so pretend you're not hearing this. I predict that Schwarzenegger is going to destroy, absolutely, utterly destroy the state of California. The Foundation for Taxpayer and Consumer Rights in the letter to Arnie said, quote, your proposal to go back to the deregulation experiment that exploded into California's single worst financial and public policy disaster directly contradicts the public interest. California, they said, cannot afford another deregulation nightmare, end quote. Well, I'll tell you what. Then you folks, the Foundation for Taxpayer and Consumer Rights, when you spent 2 or 3 years attacking and gutting Gray Davis, maybe you should have backed up a little bit and taken a look. I don't know how you could have done this unless you were psychic, but taken a look and realize that any disaster in any state is directly tied to the Bush crime family. Huh? Would have been a smart move. Wouldn't it have been, folks? So let's see what Schwarzenegger's going to do now.
If you don't tell us what happened, we will open an investigation.
Oh, goody.
Instead of going deaf, it'd be better if he was mute. And then Ron Golden Boy blew off his head. At least that's what the authorities said. You got the people, Walter Satan's trying to ponder their fate. You got Dick Cheney's heart pumping 40 weight.
My heart is fine. Our energy policy has never been compromised.
We're hurting now that we need you. Ken Starr.
Kenny Boy should invoke his fifth dimension rights.
Bush and Cheney's been on money, buddy. This time they went too far.
What is Enron anyway?
Remember back when they get wine and that Clinton lowered the moral bar. Where are you now that we need you?
Excuse me.
am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away Juicy gummies on Halloween.
Hmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, man, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells Juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Show. Jody in Arlington Heights. She said, first, yesterday's show was the first time I was seriously concerned for your health. I hope you've recovered. You know, I'm fine. I get crazy. My blood pressure skyrockets. I understand that. I have a pretty good doctor who recently put me on blood pressure medicine. And it seems to be working. There have been times when I've done talk radio when I thought I was going to burst an artery. But that would make for good radio, wouldn't it?
Hey, did you hear my wife program the other night? Some bitch died right on the air. There was this popping sound. Woo, man, cool. I bet Rush couldn't do that.
Sorry, didn't mean to frighten you. You're a bit late for that.
Hey, when you do that.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have 2 chinchillas and I have a big Briar.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals. And you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network. Work.
Well, Enron went bust shortly after the report was put out. Enron went broke, and if they came to this administration looking for help, they didn't find any.
Yeah, right. Okay, George, sit down. Shut up, will you? We're at 800-TALK, yes. Chuck is calling from Forsyth County, Georgia. Hey, Chuck. Yo, Chuck.
Hey, Mike. Let me just say this. You are my number one guy. I listen to you all day on White Rose Society. I wish I could listen to you 9 more often.
Well, bless your heart. This is your first time calling, right?
This is my first time calling.
Well, welcome aboard.
I sent you an email some months ago that says I'm thinking about running for senator.
Oh, yes, I remember.
Well, I have lunch with you, man. We have lunch with me. I live up here in Cumming, Georgia, in the heart of the Republican country. Let me tell you what I'm doing. I'm taking my 14-year-old son up to this answer demonstration on October 25th.
Uh-huh.
You can imagine every one of his friends at the county, every one of his friends are Republicans. They all think George Bush is great.
Right.
I don't understand that. I've got two. He's got two older brothers in college, Appalachian State. They also think that Bush is great. Their friends do, rather.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me a couple of things. How can these kids who are about to go over to Iraq, how can they think that this president is a great guy, number one?
I don't know.
And number two, give me, like, if you had to summarize in 5 seconds or less the main reason for disliking Bush. Let me ask you, would it be because he was a male cheerleader in high school? That's a pretty good one.
No, I'll tell you why. It's the same reason that it's a foundation that I found usually forms for most people whom I wind up not liking. He's a sneak. He's a liar. And I can't handle that. I cannot handle sneaks and liars. When you get the combination of a sneak and a liar, and then he becomes, by virtue of his office, the most powerful human being on the planet, that becomes a very dangerous situation.
Well, I just don't understand. I need a closing argument. One of the closing arguments, when my kids would go to school, obviously kids take on the politics of their parents. They would go to school, and they would talk about the environment. They would talk about foreign policy. They would talk about the economy. They would talk about the judiciary. They would talk about there's not one campaign promise that Bush has kept.
Right.
Okay, their friends' eyes would glaze over. You know what would close the deal for them? When they would tell their friends that George Bush was a male cheerleader at Andover. Okay. At that point, their friends would say, oh, my God, you're right. I can't stand the guy. But listen, I'm taking my 14-year-old son up to D.C. Will you be there?
When is this?
On October 25th. It's the same answer demonstration that you were promoting last year on October 26th of last year, which was the first large demonstration
of
the Vietnam War. You were there. It was awesome. Jackson was there. Cynthia McKinney was there.
Yeah, there's a very good chance that we will probably miss that one. Yeah, coming up this October, or the 25th of this month, a very good chance we're going to miss it. But I would expect there will be an awful lot of people who are going to be there.
Mike, I promise you this. I emailed you. I'm in the real estate business.
Yeah, I've got your email at home.
And you know, Mike, I promise you, I can. There is one Republican candidate in particular. I need to tell you some things I know about him.
All right, we'll get together. I promise.
Can I email you? And I promise you, I'll buy you a sandwich, man. If you just let me.
Email it to send it to me.
Mike, you're great, man. My name's Chuck. I'm in Forsyth County. I love you, man. You're great.
Thanks, Chuck. Good to hear from you. All right, sir. I'll look for your email. Yeah, for those of you who don't know, Forsyth County at one point, not that long ago, hell, I was working for WSB when we had the 20,000-person march against the racism in that county. It's not that way anymore, or I don't think Chuck would be living there. But Forsyth County, when I first moved to this city in 1970, there was billboards leading on some of the two-lane roads leading into and out of Forsyth County that said, I'm going to use the N-word, this is what it said, nigger, don't let the sun go down on you in Forsyth County. It was that bad. It was really a bad place. Now, it's a gorgeous bedroom community of Atlanta. It's a lot has changed. Quick break. We'll be right back. We're going to play the sound for you from Rummy. You got to hear this. Stay with us.
High places. They've stolen our country and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Some subway cars follow a route to the bottom of the sea, and the new riders are fish and mollusks. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Tiny sea creatures and fish make homes on rocks and reefs, and people sometimes try to help them out by sinking other things that will serve the same purpose. Old ships and subway cars are just a few kinds of scrap that people deliberately put out to sea to make new homes for marine life. Bill Muir is a national expert on marine pollution with the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. He says people once tried to make artificial reefs out of some questionable material. Things like refrigerators ended up damaging natural reefs and not helping the marine life. The government now has guidelines to be sure people treat the seabed as a resource instead of a dump. Muir has led programs to clean and sink things like retired army tanks and subway cars. He says they can create a reef that will attract sea plants and grazing fish.
The fish are actually grazing on it as you would have in a wooded environment where you might have the deer grazing on the nearby foliage in a woods.
Earlier this year, the state of New Jersey started a project to sink as many as 250 old subway cars from New York off its shores. Prior to the sinking, the cars are stripped of all plastic, degradable materials, and grease to avoid contamination of the marine ecosystem. Muir says sunken subway cars often become homes for mussels. Mussels feed by filtering organic material out of the water, and Muir says the mussel beds sometimes improve water quality and clarity at the same time. Muir says artificial reef programs like this are common around the world. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Truth, Justice, and the American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
27 before the hour. Stars and Stripes, which is a government-funded newspaper magazine. It is not published by active duty military, but I think most everybody, whether you've served in the military or not, have heard about Stars and Stripes. Well, they conducted a survey, some 2,000 troops in Iraq, and what they came up with is a third of U.S. troops surveyed in Iraq said their morale was low. Half of them said they are unlikely to stay in the armed forces once they get out, if they get out. The newspaper said that they realized their poll of 2,000 troops was not a scientific sampling, but the results of this poll raises for debate, if anybody's willing to debate it, once again, how our military is being trashed by George Bush and his chicken hawks. Absolutely trash. Now, in addition, the findings contradict all the statements made by the Bush thugs that portrays morale as high among occupation forces. That's a lie. It is simply not true. Now, you can make an argument that in a combat zone, morale is never high. I guess you could make that argument, couldn't you? And it would be a valid argument. But that's not the argument that the Bush crime family tries to jam down the throats and up the asses of the American public. Their point of view is everybody's happy and isn't it grand to be here in Iraq? That's a lie. Now, the commander in Iraq challenged the poll results that were published in Stars and Stripes. Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez, another one of these three-star dudes, said, there is no morale problem. Uh-huh. Now, the newspaper said it took the poll in August. Jesus, imagine if they took it now. After receiving letters through the summer in which some 60% of the letters they got were soldiers complaining about all sorts of subjects, including living conditions, mail delivery, equipment, everything. So Stars and Stripes did the poll, and these are the results. 49% of those questions said it was very unlikely or not likely that they would stay in the military after completing their current obligation. All right. Rumsfeld today, Department of Defense briefing. Reporter says, Mr. Rumsfeld, I'd like to ask you about the Stars and Stripes survey of troops in Iraq, which indicated that a large percentage of troops defined their morale as being low and reluctant to reenlist when their obligations were up. I know you've both been to Iraq. He's talking about General Myers is with him. In recent weeks and months and talked to troops, commanders, how does that square? What is being reported by the troops? How does that square with what you know about what the morale situation is?
We have not yet seen any adverse indications with respect to recruiting or retention that are notable.
Morale!
There's one indicator in one service with respect to one category that is soft. But overall, the indicators remain good. On the other hand, the effects of a stress on the force are unlikely to be felt immediately. They're much more likely to be felt down the road, so we have to be attentive to that, and we are.
Oh, you're talking about post-traumatic stress syndrome. You're talking about Agent Orange. You're talking about depleted uranium. You're talking about Gulf War syndrome. No, you're not attentive to that, Rummy. Nobody in the criminal administration you work for is attentive to it. But anyway, he says, well, there's one indicator and one service with respect to one category that is soft, morale. Uh-huh. Okay. Continuing to answer the same question, Rumsfeld says this.
I'm told that this, I guess it's Stars and Stripes. I haven't seen the article, I'm not an expert on it, but I'm told it was an informal and admittedly non-scientific poll. And one would have to say that if you take a couple hundred thousand people and look across them, you're going to find people at every point in the spectrum in terms of their views and whether they're up or down or happy or sad or whatever. And I don't know that I would be a good judge of morale.
No, you just want people to go kill and die for the thugs you work for. What is this nonsense? Once again, does Rumsfeld know anything ever? I haven't seen the article. Most secretaries of defense, when they get up in the morning and they're sitting on the john, they're reading Stars and Stripes. Because that's where the factual information about attitude and morale with the troops on the ground is going to be found, not in reports from General Sanchez.
I haven't seen the article. I'm told it was informal and non-scientific. It just came out of the mouths of the troops. So that doesn't mean squat. That doesn't mean anything. You know, these people are not supposed to think. They're supposed to kill and break things up. And if they die, they die. You know, we got more. Pull 100,000 people, you get 100,000 answers. You know, what time is it? I got lunch here. Get out of my way. Go away.
All right, that's the first one. Now, the second major mind, can't say that word, scramble at the DOD has to do with this psychopathic, another lieutenant general, three stars, Jerry Boykin. You all have heard about him. Yeah, you haven't? He's a Christian extremist. Now, the LA Times and NBC have discovered this. I don't know. I'll just let the story speak for itself. In June last year, Jerry Boykin, this is according to the LA Times, stepped up to the pulpit at the First Baptist Church of Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Now, we have a bureau chief there. That's Nelson. That's one of our board moderators. Anyway, this guy stepped up to the pulpit. He was in his uniform. Described a set of photographs he had taken of Mogadishu, Somalia, from an army helicopter in 1993. Okay? This general. Now, he's been in every war that we've been in, probably in the past 25 or 30 years. But there he is in a helicopter over Mogadishu. And he's got a camera. And he tells the people in this church that the photographs were taken shortly after the disastrous Black Hawk Down mission that had resulted in the death of 18 Americans. When the general came home and had the photos developed, he said, he noticed a strange dark mark over the city. He had an imagery interpreter trained by the military look at the mark. The interpreter said to him, "This is not a blemish on your photograph. This is real." So then Boykin said to the congregation as he flashed his pictures on a screen, "Ladies and gentlemen, this is your enemy. It is the principalities of darkness. It is a demonic presence in that city that God revealed to me as the enemy." That's what he said. This past June, at the pulpit of the Good Shepherd Community Church in Sandy, Oregon, he displayed slides of Osama bin Laden, Saddam Hussein, and North Korea's Kim Jong-il. And then he asked the congregation, "Why do these people hate us?" The answer to that is because we're a Christian nation. We are hated because we are a nation of believers. And our spiritual enemy will only be defeated if we come against them in the name of Jesus Christ. Who is this guy? Who is this guy? He's Army Lieutenant General William G. Jerry Boykin. Now, the day before Boykin appeared at the pulpit in Oregon, the Pentagon announced that Rumsfeld had nominated this person for a third star and named him to a new position as Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence. Now, this guy has a lot of experience. He started out as one of the first Delta Force commandos. He was involved in the attempt during the Carter years to free the hostages in Iran that ended in disaster. He went on to head the Top Secret Joint Special Operations Command. He served in the CIA. Most recently, he commanded Army Special Forces before being brought into the Rumsfeld leadership team. But he's also an extremist who has spoken openly about how his belief in Christianity has trumped Muslims and Jews and anybody else. He has described himself as a warrior in the kingdom of God, and invited others to join with him in fighting for the United States through repentance, prayer, and the exercise of faith in Jesus. He has praised the leadership of Bush, whom he extolled as, quote, a man who prays in the Oval Office. And then he said this, "You know, George Bush was not elected. The majority of the voters in the United States didn't vote for him. He was appointed by God." This is a three-star general. He was appointed by God. He wasn't elected. Now, this is only part of the problem. Boykin is also in a senior Pentagon policy-making position. And you would be forgiven if you considered it a serious mistake to allow someone like this to be in a policy-making position. For God's sake, you'll pardon the pun. Now, why is it bad? Okay, Boykin has made it clear that he takes his orders not from the army, not from his superiors, but from God. That can be kind of a worrisome thing when you consider the chain of command, can it?
I'm not listening to you. God!
Just like God talks to Bush, God talks to this killer. Okay? Another thing, it is both imprudent and dangerous to have a senior officer guiding the war on terrorism, which is what this ass wipe is going to do in Iraq and Afghanistan, who believes that Islam
is a religion against which we are waging a holy war. That's what he believes, judging by his own words. Let's go back to church. In a speech at a church in Daytona, Florida in January, Boykin told the following story.
There was a man in Mogadishu named Osman Atto. He was a top lieutenant of Mohammed Idid. When my Delta Force commandos went after him, they missed him by seconds. So he went on CNN and he laughed at us. And he said, they'll never get me because Allah will protect me. Allah will protect me. Well, you know what? I knew that my God was bigger than his. I knew that my God was a real God and his was an idol. And we captured him. We got him. You know, Americans, let me tell you something. These other countries have lost their morals. But we are still a Christian nation.
The general has said he has no doubt that our side is the side of the true God. In Iraq, he told the Oregon congregation in church, special operations were victorious precisely because of their faith in God. He said,
ladies and gentlemen, I want to impress upon you that the battle we're in is a spiritual battle. Satan wants to destroy this nation. He wants to destroy us as a nation, and he wants to destroy us as a Christian army. Well, by God, that's not going to happen.
A month ago, he was in Vero Beach, Florida, at another church. In describing the war against terrorism, Bush frequently says it's not a war against Islam. Bush declared that the war on terrorism is not a clash of civilizations. But this guy, oh no. Boykin's promotion to Lieutenant General and his appointment as Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence were confirmed by the Senate by voice vote in June. You know what? An aide to the Senate Armed Services Committee said the appointment was not examined in detail. But people at his level now are called upon to testify before Congress. You know about budgetary stuff and tactical stuff and strategic stuff. Can you imagine this guy sitting in front of the Senate Armed Services Committee? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Boykin refers to the God of Islam as an idol, a fake god. Now, how does the Army feel about this? The former head of the Army Judge Advocate General's Office, who is now retired but continues to serve in government as a civilian, and he only said this on condition of anonymity to the L.A. Times, he said, the Army has struggled with this issue over the years. It gets really, really touchy because what you're talking about is freedom of expression. What usually happens when something like this occurs is that somebody has a quiet chat with the person. Now, this is where we are. I mean, if this doesn't, it's one thing for this little jackrabbit George Bush to say God told him to invade Afghanistan and God told him to invade Iraq. You know, you can write that off as the ramblings of a freak and a moron. You can say, well, there are checks and balances to keep this little son of a bitch from doing something horrible like unleashing nukes against France. We still have a chain of command. There are still people who will say, George ordered it? No, hold off. But this guy is a three-star general and is now in a position of making policy for the United States. You scared yet? We have time for any of these sound bites? We don't? Okay. All right. We're going to pause here, take a break. We come back. I want you to hear some of the sound where Rumsfeld was questioned about this freak today and how he answered. Now, I got an email. A couple of you alerted me to this story. Michael emailed in from Phoenix. Mike, I do not want my government using its military funded by my tax money and yours being used to fulfill a right-wing literalist fundamentalist cult Tim LaHaye left behind military fantasy. Is this madness? What century is this? I thought that civilized people stopped fighting wars on behalf of imaginary gods about the time of the Enlightenment. We're a 21st century superpower, and some in the Pentagon want to fight an 11th century religious war? Madness.
Evil forces go to hell. Well, you'd best hope you've chosen wisely on the right side of the Lord, and when you die, your conscience, it is clear. You'd best hope your atom bombs are better than the sword at the time when your reckoning is here. Because I don't think Jesus would send gunships into Bethlehem or jets to race the towns of Timorese. I don't think Jesus would lend money to dictators or drive those SUVs. And I don't think Jesus would ever have dropped a single ounce of napalm. So tell me, who would Jesus love?
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
Need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817. The Washington Monthly.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it. Stop surfing and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yard, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
We must collectively get after those who kill in the name of some kind of false religion.
Well, that would be your General Jerry Boykin, wouldn't it, Bushy? All right, couple of questions here at the DOD briefing today about this particular topic, and I can tell by the clock we're going to have to carry this over, and then we will come to your calls, because I'd like to get your opinion on this. Reporter says, Mr. Secretary, Lieutenant General Boykin, the new Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence, has been quoted and seen giving speeches to various religious groups, casting the war on terrorism in fairly religious terms, among other things, saying radical Islamists are attacking the United States because we're a Christian nation, yada, yada, yada. He's also saying the enemy is Satan. I won't read all of these quotes, but he also says that the president's in the White House not because of the voters, but because God put him there. Your reaction to these comments? And what is the policy about people in your office or in the military overall about giving these speeches, casting the war on terrorism this way?
Well, that's a lot of questions. I've not seen the videos, which I understand are pieces of a speech or speeches that he made. And I not only have not seen that, but I have not seen the full context of what it was he said. We do know that he is an officer that has an outstanding record in the United States Armed Forces.
Yeah, so once again, Rummy knows nothing. I know nothing. What are you talking about? I hired the guy. I gave him his extra star or insisted that the Congress give him his extra star. I've put him in charge of tracking down Osama and Saddam and whoever killed Chandra Levy. But I don't know. I have no idea what he said. But the hammering from the press corps continues. General Boykin was seen in a military uniform when he was giving these speeches, Mr. Secretary, and is it harmful to have these kinds of statements out, especially in an effort to win the hearts and minds of the Muslim population in Iraq?
There are a lot of things that are said by people in the military or civilian life or in the Congress or in the executive branch that are their views. And that's the way we live. We're free people. And that's the wonderful thing about our country. And I think that for anyone to run around and think that that can be managed and controlled is probably wrong.
It's the military.
Like that in our country. Saddam Hussein could do it pretty well because he'd go around killing people if they said things he didn't like. And as I say, I just simply can't comment on what he said because I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. We're a free people. You can't control anything. No, Rummy, you psychopath. This is the military. You can control how often your troops take a dump, buddy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of a brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
Ooh,
you hate me?
Why don't you put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
A remote-controlled bomb tore apart an armored vehicle in a U.S. diplomatic convoy Wednesday, killing three American security guards and wounding a fourth in an unprecedented attack on a U.S. target in the Palestinian territories. The attack on a convoy of diplomats entering Gaza was a dramatic departure from typical militant operations, which usually target Israeli soldiers and civilians. It was almost certain to lead to greater U.S. pressure for a Palestinian crackdown on militant groups. Labor unrest spread in California on Wednesday as bus drivers walked out in solidarity with striking transit workers. 70,000 grocery clerks from three chains spent their fourth day on picket lines, and nearly half of L.A. County Sheriff's deputies called in sick Wednesday. President Bush leaned on senators to back his call for nearly $87 billion in reconstruction and military aid to Iraq and Afghanistan, even as some Republicans attempt to make Iraq repay part of the money. The White House has launched a vigorous lobbying effort to kill loan proposals as the Senate and House get ready to vote on the huge spending measure this week. Bush's budget director called on senators of both parties last week to get them to oppose amendments to make part or all of the bill's $20.3 billion in reconstruction funds alone. The administration says a loan would burden Iraq with too much additional debt. Republican Senator Susan Collins of Maine said she did not want U.S. taxpayers saddled with the cost of rebuilding Iraq when the U.S. economy is still fragile. Criminal prosecutors at the Justice Department and top FBI officials have privately criticized Attorney General John Ashcroft for failing to recuse himself or appoint a special prosecutor to investigate the leak of a CIA operative's identity. The criticism reflects the first sign of dissension in the department and the FBI as the inquiry nears a critical phase. The Attorney General must decide whether to convene a grand jury, which could compel White House officials to testify. Mr. Ashcroft and Alberto Gonzalez, White House counsel, have also been under fire for their initial handling of the case. The Justice Department allowed the White House to wait overnight on September 28th before sending notification ordering White House employees not to destroy records related to the leak.
More news after this.
If you play your guitar on 10, then we strongly recommend that you talk to the folks in here. They will make it clear that the ringing in your ears, ooh, is something to be feared. It will probably never end. So make your ears your friend.
A battery-powered mosquito trap in a public park was mistaken for a bomb and caused a four-hour uproar on Tuesday that halted railroad traffic in southeastern Pennsylvania. The scare came a day after explosives were reported stolen in the area.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes. So you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
The rabid partisans of the Republican far right truly loathe Senator Paul Wellstone, the spirited and popular Minnesota progressive who died in a plane crash last year. In a testament to their partisan loathing, Minnesota right-wingers have put out an ugly post-mortem bumper sticker that angrily says of Wellstone, "He's dead. Get over it." But Paul, or at least his spirit, just won't die. Indeed, Paul and his wife Sheila, who also died in the crash, are now the rallying point of an important and exciting organizing effort to carry their spirit and policies into a long-term campaign to build a progressive future for our country. It's called Wellstone Action, and it literally is taking action to bring power back to America's grassroots. Among modern political figures, Wellstone was unique, for instead of throwing all of his campaign funds at pollsters, consultants, and TV ads, he put a big percentage into grassroots organizing. He and his staffers ran a series of weekend political boot camps called Camp Wellstone, where they trained thousands of volunteers, campaign managers, and future candidates. By strengthening the civic skills of on-the-ground people, Paul strengthened his own populist base, enhanced democracy, and extended the framework for an ongoing progressive movement. Now, the good people who worked with Paul and Sheila are continuing this democracy-building effort by taking the Camp Wellstone concept national. Wellstone Action is holding 9 or so intensive training camps this year in Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania, with about 20 Camp Wellstones planned cross-country next year. If they build it, people will come, for folks are thirsting for community and a politics that matters, and this is one political effort that genuinely puts people first. This is Jim Hightower saying, to connect to Camp Wellstone, call 651-645-3939.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back, 7 past the hour. Well, I can tell by the tone and language in some of your emails that came in during the break that you don't agree with Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. Now, this is a guy who sees pictures of Satan over Mogadishu, Somalia. This is a guy who says our enemies are not, he sees images of demons over Mogadishu. He says that our enemy is not Osama or Saddam or Bill Clinton. Our enemy is Satan himself, that Satan is striding the planet, that Satan is attempting to destroy us. And he's very candid about Bush. He said the American people did not elect George Bush. Think of that for a second. This is a three-star general who is now in a policymaking position saying the American people did not elect George W. Bush. Now, I would imagine that Karl Rove's sphincter muscle just tightened up almost unbelievably so when he heard that. A lieutenant general saying George Bush was not elected by the American people. And just about the time that Rove's sphincter muscle started to relax, the general says the follow-up.
He was appointed by God!
This is a dangerous situation. Like I said last hour, it's one thing to have a screwball like George Bush say, well, God told me to go ahead and invade Afghanistan, and God told me to invade that other one, Iraq, whatever, I don't know. That's one thing. Because, believe it or not, there's still a few checks and balances to stop a psychopath like Bush, just like they had an agreement about the psychopath Kissinger, had an agreement about the psychopath Nixon. Towards the final days, you know, when Nixon got ready to divert attention by nuking a country, the order was out that Nixon did not have the final word on launching Think about that for a second. So I'm sure they probably have the same thing in place for this this jerk in the White House. The final word? Oh, that belongs to Cheney. But this guy's a general. This guy has the power, the means, and the will to just do an incredible amount of damage. Incredible amounts of damage. And he sees demons in the sky over Mogadishu, and Satan is striding the planet to destroy the America, the Christian American army, he calls it, and George Bush was appointed and selected and installed by God. Now, somebody like this should be immediately cashiered, immediately taken out of the military, sent someplace where it's quiet and birds are chirping, and let him smoke a doobie. Let him, no, better yet, give him a nice beer laced with about 500 micromilligrams of really good acid and watch him disintegrate. Let him fly apart, atomize. End of story. But Rumsfeld puts him in a policy-making position. Okay. Now, this is going to be hard to follow, but I want you to follow it, okay? Several reporters jump into the fray here about the General Boykin thing. Rumsfeld tries to change the subject. Now, it goes like this. Rummy, just a second, I'm going to try other people. Question. Well, I have a follow-up. Rummy, you didn't hear me? We're going to try other people. We're either going to adjourn the press conference, or we allow the people up here to decide how many questions everyone gets. Question. He needs to get a follow-up. Rummy, goodness gracious. Question. Based on what you know about General Boykin, do you believe it's either appropriate or advisable for such a high-ranking member of the Pentagon to make those kinds of remarks in public? Rummy, how could you answer that if you hadn't seen the text of what he said? Question. But what he's saying seems to be contrary to the policy, appears, Rummy. Okay, appears, seems to be, you do appears, you do seems to be, I don't. Here it is.
Just a second. I'm going to try other people. I really am. You didn't hear me. We're going to try other people. We either adjourn the press conference or we allow the people up here to decide how many questions everybody gets.
Based on what you said earlier, based on what you know about what General Boykin said, do you believe that it's either appropriate or advisable for such a high-ranking member of the Pentagon to make those kinds of remarks in public?
How could you answer that if you haven't seen the text of what he said?
What he's saying seems to be contrary to that policy. Appears, seems to be.
Well, you do appears, you do seems to be, I don't.
Now, not giving up, another reporter tries. Mr. Secretary, do I take it to understand that you're not going to push through this Boykin thing? And you'll leave it to the Army? Are you going to go back to your office, pick up the phone and call Boykin and say, what's this all about? Or are you going to ask for the transcript? Are you going to ask to see the videotapes? Or are you just going to say, I'm going to leave this to the Army. If they want to do anything about it, they can.
I do not know. I literally have heard about it this morning. I have not read it. I have not seen it. And it seems to me that it is a perfectly fair thing for a person in a position of responsibility to confess that he doesn't know and has not seen it or not read it and defer. Now, that is that unreasonable?
Well, yes, it is. As a matter of fact, it is, Rumsfeld, because that is your excuse every time. You're a drunk, you're a killer, you're a psychopath, you are totally incompetent. These are members of the crack Pentagon press corps asking you questions about a religious psychopath that you hired. And you're going to stand there, aren't you? You chump-changed, thin-haired, mottled-skin freak that could bring death and destruction on any country on the planet and say you don't know. Now, this reporter's choice of words gets Rummy testy. The reporter says, would it be helpful in our current conflicts in Afghanistan and Iraq to characterize these conflicts as them against us, good Christians? Would it be helpful to do that? Which is apparently what he is doing.
Well, see, apparently works for you. Apparently doesn't work for me. If I start saying, well, apparently this or apparently that, then, and if it's not so, what have I done? I've misserved people, and I don't like to do that. Others can do it, but I'm just uncomfortable doing it.
Oh, my God. That's how bad it's become in this country. This is how bad it's become. Finally, reporters team up on him again, wondering why he's so reluctant to even agree to look at the tapes or transcripts of the psychopathic general's comments. He won't even say, "We'll take a look at that." Just no comment at all. Listen to this.
The headline you're going to see tomorrow is going to make you sound indecisive, because the headline you're going to see is, "What are you going to do?" is the question, "I don't know," quote unquote. Now, you don't want that headline, do you, sir?
We're not asking for you to investigate, but we're asking for you to take a look at the material.
I think if I went back and read the transcript of this, that I would not be uncomfortable with what I've said.
Yeah. So you've got this general, Boykin, who is a religious, just totally insane. Think of Ashcroft, totally insane. Think of a Bush who says God tells him to invade countries. What the hell is going on? This is not good news. This is not good news. This is not a good thing. Or maybe it is. What do you think? Seriously, I want to get your comments. I want you, if you're going to call this program tonight, to address this issue. This is a 3-star general who is obviously a religious psychopath. He is obviously religiously insane. I mean, really out there. Really. Satan is striding the planet. Shapes appear over Mogadishu. They're demons. God appointed Bush. Now, I want your comment on this. I do not want to talk about another subject right now. Not Halliburton in Iraq, not a stupid Schwarzenegger thing, nothing. I want to talk about this. I want you to talk about it. I want to get your opinion, your impression, okay? Seriously. 800-TALK-YES. Seriously. This is what I want to talk about. If you're on hold to talk about something else, I want you to address this, all right? All right? Wayne is calling from Ackworth. Wayne, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I don't know now. I mean, this is really scary stuff.
Well, you know what part of the world I come from. I have the misfortune of living in the town that spawned the likes of Newt Gingrich, Ralph Reed, the Christian Coalition, Bob Barr, and the rest of these nuts. And I'll tell you something, boss. You know, I spent a lot of time in the church. I consider myself a religious person, but these are the type of people that I ran into at church that threw me away from the church. I could not stand these people.
Yeah.
They're psychopathic. They scare the living bejeebies out of me. And to be quite honest with you, I hate to slam it, but the fact of the matter is, the more I've looked and the older I've gotten, the more I realize that, you know, people worry about AIDS and they worry about cancer and they worry about all these other things. But to be honest with you, these religious fanatics are the ones that have killed more people than anybody else on the face of the planet.
Oh, there's no question about that. But as Michael emailed me earlier this evening, you don't expect this kind of attitude, this kind of worldview, in at the beginning of the 21st century. You do expect it during the 11th century, the 10th century, the 12th century, when we lived in a demon-possessed world, when we would raise huge armies, some of them comprised entirely of children, to follow the mad ravings of monks and popes and bishops who said, "Go to the Middle East and slaughter and kill because they've defiled Christ." I mean, this is sick, perverted, nasty stuff, but it's from 700 years ago. Here is a 3-star general who is saying it now.
And this is the Republican Party. Don't let anybody out there get yourself confused here. This is the right-wing fanatics that are running this administration. They're running our military. They say that they are, they think that they're Christians, but the fact of the matter is, they're fanatics. They're no different from the Osama bin Ladens or any of the rest of them that you want to put in that lineup. You know, the other thing that bothers me, too, and this kind of goes hand in hand with what you're talking about, there's some question about the fake letters that were put out that supposedly came from the truth.
Yeah, we talked about that last night extensively.
Well, I think that's a violation of the Uniform Code of Military Justice.
There is some debate about that, Wayne. That was done by a lieutenant colonel who...
Well, then what's the difference?
Let me put you on hold. I'll come right back to you. Quick break. We'll be right back. Stick around. You know what I want you to talk about, so stay with us.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a twinkle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
The rabid partisans of the Republican far right truly loathe Senator Paul Wellstone, the spirited and popular Minnesota progressive who died in a plane crash last year. In a testament to their partisan loathing, Minnesota right-wingers have put out an ugly post-mortem bumper sticker that angrily says of Wellstone, "He's dead! Get over it!" But Paul, or at least his spirit, just won't die. Indeed, Paul and his wife Sheila, who also died in the crash, are now the rallying point of an important and exciting organizing effort to carry their spirit and policies into a long-term campaign to build a progressive future for our country. It's called Wellstone Action, and it literally is taking action to bring power back to America's grassroots. Among modern political figures, Wellstone was unique, for instead of throwing all of his campaign funds at pollsters, consultants, and TV ads, he put a big percentage into grassroots organizing. He and his staffers ran a series of weekend political boot camps called Camp Wellstone, where they trained thousands of volunteers, campaign managers, and future candidates. By strengthening the civic skills of on-the-ground people, Paul strengthened his own populist base, enhanced democracy, and extended the framework for an ongoing progressive movement. Now, the good people who worked with Paul and Sheila are continuing this democracy-building effort by taking the Camp Wellstone concept national. Wellstone Action is holding 9 or so intensive training camps this year in Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania, with about 20 Camp Wellstones planned cross-country next year. If they build it, people will come, for folks are thirsting for community and a politics that matters, and this is one political effort that genuinely puts people first. This is Jim Hightower saying, to connect to Camp Wellstone, call 651-645-3939.
Psycho killers, ecstasy, pa 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 pa, better run, run.
is evil. These are evildoers. They have no justification.
If we're past the hour, yeah, Carl Sagan was right. We have devolved into living in a demon-haunted world. I don't know. It's hard to talk about this, but that's what we're talking about. We're talking about with Wayne and Ackworth. All right, Wayne, go ahead. Thanks for holding on.
Yeah, no problem. I don't know why. In a way, I'm not surprised. We've seen this coming from these people from the get-go. I mean, this president's done everything he can. Excuse me, he's not the president. This unelected resident is not, you know, he's wrapped himself in the flag. He waves Jesus in one hand, waves the flag in the other, and 911 continuously comes out of his mouth. I'm worried that he's going to go to another country to go to war. And the rest of the country I just don't understand it. You know, are they all on drugs? I mean, is religious fanaticism going to take over our country and turn us into, you know, are we going to go back to the Middle Ages like what you were saying?
Well, that fanaticism that you're talking about, that Christian fundamentalist fanaticism has taken over the country. It's taken over the airwaves. It's not yet taken over the entire media. But it has, it sets the tone for discussion now, whether it comes out of the drug-addled mouth of Rush Limbaugh, or the traitorous mouth of a disgrace to the United States Marine Corps like Oliver North, or it comes out of the mouth like a paid assassin like G. Gordon Liddy. These people are all, Christian fundamentalists. So this takeover you're talking about has occurred. Is it an attempt to push us back to the Middle Ages? Absolutely. Prior to the Middle Ages, to push us back to the Dark Ages, where decisions were made by chanting monks sitting in damp sub basements beneath God knows what kind of a cloister or a monastery, where anything having to do with science or reason or rational thought was simply spew from Satan. That's exactly where these bastards are taking us.
And you know what? Now that I think about it, and I think back over the 47 years I've been on the planet, and I think back through history, what I know of it, I'm not sure I can think of any administration or group of people that have been in power like this that have scared me anywhere near as bad as this people have. I've never been afraid. I've never been afraid of my government as, you know, before. I've never really given it that much thought to be afraid of. Well, other than maybe in the 60s when Hoover was in there.
Right.
And I suppose, you know, maybe McCarthy would have some bearing if I would have been alive at that time. But no, these people right here, you know, face it, man, there's some of them out there that they take all this stuff in and they just think that there's some of them that actually think that if they can get us into a big enough war and drive it into the Middle East, we can get the second coming of Jesus, and that's what they want.
I know.
And that's what they think they're going to get, the same way the other people on the other side think they get 72 virgins.
They're crazy. Wayne, thanks for checking in, pal.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. They're just absolutely crazy. There's no doubt. John is calling from Long Beach, California. Hey, John.
Hey, Mike. I hope I have enough time here. A couple of things. First of all, this general you were talking about.
Yeah.
I think Sterling Hayden played him.
Yeah, yeah. General Jack Ripper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean.
Only, you know, I just got an email that said the same thing. And let's remember that that movie and the character, that was, you know, that was something out of Terry Southern's mind when he wrote the novel.
Mm-hmm.
This is real.
I understand.
This
that.
Is real. Oh my God!
You know, good fiction.
Hey, hold on, John. I'll come back to you. We got a break here. If you're on hold, stay with us. I want to hear what you've got to say about this general. We played the sound for you of Rumsfeld saying you didn't know anything about him. We'll post links. Some of you have already found the links to this. I don't know what to call him. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
If you talk to me, what news would you bring of voices in the sky?
The course of this conflict is not known, yet its outcome is certain. God is not neutral.
Voices in the sky.
thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Some subway cars follow a route to the bottom of the sea, and the new riders are fish and mollusks. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Tiny sea creatures and fish make homes on rocks and reefs, and people sometimes try to help them out by sinking other things that will serve the same purpose. Old ships and subway cars are just a few kinds of scrap that people deliberately put out to sea to make new homes for marine life. Bill Muir is a national expert on marine pollution with the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. He says people once tried to make artificial reefs out of some questionable material. Things like refrigerators ended up damaging natural reefs and not helping the marine life. The government now has guidelines to be sure people treat the seabed as a resource instead of a dump. Muir has led programs to clean and sink things like retired army tanks and subway cars. He says they can create a reef that will attract sea plants and grazing fish.
The fish are actually grazing on it as you would have in a wooded environment where you might have the deer grazing on the nearby foliage in a woods.
Earlier this year, the state of New Jersey started a project to sink as many as 250 old subway cars from New York off its shores. Prior to the sinking, the cars are stripped of all plastic, degradable materials, and grease to avoid contamination of the marine ecosystem. Muir says sunken subway cars often become homes for mussels. Mussels feed by filtering organic material out of the water, and Muir says the mussel beds sometimes improve water quality and clarity at the same time. Muir says artificial reef programs like this are common around the world. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Blood-Sucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Well, the bombs you've dropped, the guns you shot, all in the name of food.
It's not your father's talk radio, it's Mike Malloy.
Kathy, get out the bag of snakes, man. All right, back to John in Long Beach, California. John, go ahead.
Also, what I wanted to bring up besides the similarity between the Sterling Hayden character and this general, also, I think I know how we more or less got to where we are now. I know this may seem like a far-fetched thing to say, but remember old Pat Robertson?
Mm-hmm.
Remember when he ran for president?
Yeah.
And he got his butt kicked?
Right.
Do you remember what he said after that?
I'm afraid to ask.
Well, he said that they were going to start a grassroots movement.
Mm.
And
right, that's right.
And if you look back, you'll see that he said, we will I forget his words exactly verbatim, but it was the fact that they were going to accomplish what they have accomplished.
Mm.
Now, you might say, well, then how come Pat Robertson is not sitting up there in the driver's seat? Has nothing to do with it. Oftentimes, when a person creates a monster, doesn't mean that they're going to be able to control that monster once it's created.
Right. Well, it's like I said, I think it was Dwayne who called in. You know, any thought about trying to avoid the actualization of these people's religious insanity where it concerns how this country is run, any hope to avoid that is a false hope. They're here. They're the ones running this show.
Yes, they are.
It's incredible. The tinfoil hat time. I don't doubt that at some point there's going to be a roundup of people like you, people like me. There's going to be a roundup of folks, the Hollywood crowd, the Northeast intellectuals, the gays, the socially just Jews, the Catholic activists. These people are going to be rounded up. You know, like Father Bourgeois, who lobbies against School of the Americas. These people are going to be rounded up. We are going to be rounded up.
If Father Barrickin was still alive, he'd be rounded up.
Yeah, and it's, of course, it's at that point when whatever weapons training that I have devoted myself to for the past 3 years kicks in. I swear before God. John, thanks for checking in, pal.
All right.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. How can one not come to the conclusion, or the speculation, let's call it speculation, that at some point, if we don't get control of our government back, and that's, I'm sorry, I don't mean to sit here and be a pessimist again, but it's looking bleaker and bleaker, is it not, with these touchscreen voting machines and people like Schwarzenegger conning the voters in California into believing that he is a social liberal and a fiscal conservative? He's a neo-Nazi thug just like the rest of them. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, I'm a geek, a moron. George W. Bush, I'm a compassionate conservative. Yeah, okay. Arnold Schwarzenegger, well, you know, I believe in a woman's right to choose an abortion if she, by God, wants it. I believe in the same-sex of unions. I believe I'm pro-environmental. Uh-huh. Yes, you are. Sure you are. And these second- and third-tier Republican dogs running around this country, popping up on TV shows to defend and explain this murderous enterprise in Iraq, and these just unbelievably destructive thugs and punks like Joe Scarborough on MSNBC and who are the rest of them, Kathy? Christ, I can't even keep track of their names anymore. You think it's not here?
Yeah.
I can remember not so very long ago. Really, really advocating, and I mean advocating, not just talking about, but advocating. Look, guns and things like that, you know, it's just so destructive to a peaceful community. Boy, have I come 180 degrees. If you're not armed, I'm sorry. For all you people out there who are still anti-gun, I am anti-gun. Absolutely. But if you're anti-gun and you're not armed, shame on you. Get pissed. You know, fine. That's fine. Get pissed. With a statement like that from a liberal like Mike Malloy. I may be a liberal. I'm no fool. Man. All right. I'm sorry. I'm just raving on here. Dan is calling from Richmond, California. Dan, I know you've been holding on a long time. Thanks for being patient.
Oh, yeah. No problem. You know, it's like when I been following politics. I'm 18. I just started following it, you know, for high school and
right.
College now. You know, I thought there'd be like one, two, you know, maybe Christian, right-wing Christians. But now it seems like they're popping up everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah.
And it's just really scary because, you know, they're giving this war on abortion, and they're going to try and stop it. I mean, it's just gross how they do that. And, you know, we have these Christians like John Ashcroft, George Bush, you know, and it's like, It's like they talk to God, you know, and this God is just really scary to me.
Yeah, really.
You know,
yeah.
if this Christian God talks to these people like that, saying it's okay to kill, then what is this God about? I mean, I'm confused.
Well, death and destruction. This is the cloud being that used to talk to Moses when Moses was told by the cloud being, "Hey, listen, when you get to the River Jordan, calm down for a while. You're not going to go over, but your son Joshua will go over. And when Joshua goes over, I want you to go in there and slaughter everybody, kill them all,
and it's like
kill them.
It's like a repeating it, because you know what made me atheist is that, number one, reading the Bible, and number two, reading Carl Sagan.
Right.
And you know, his facts are so key to life, and also reading about Galileo. Mm-hmm. Also, how the Catholics treated him.
Dan, just keep reading, man. Don't ever let them control your mind.
And I have a question, real quick.
Sure.
Is there a way that I can get your audio? Because if I get your audio, then I can send it. I send a lot of your audio to Bernie Ward and Ray Taliaferro. And
yeah, just go to write this down. WhiteRoseSociety.org.
Oh, hold on. WhiteRoseSociety.org.
White. The color white. White Rose Society. The color white, the flower rose, whiterosesociety.org. And the guy who runs that site, Ben, archives 3 weeks of this program and other programs.
Okay, because that's awesome, because I'm so fortunate to live in this left Bay Area. You know, you don't know what it's like. I mean, if you moved here, you'd be like a hero.
Yeah, well, West Bay is kind of weird, but my program is too liberal even for the East Bay, even for Oakland, even for San Francisco. This program is.
Yes, but we're less in a way that we're tolerant for everyone. Even if you are a right-wing Christian, we don't mind you living here.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how it feels. All right, thanks for my call. All right,
thanks, Dan. I appreciate you checking in, pal. Yeah. It's starting to sound like Limbaugh. Hold on a second. Let me take another OxyContin. Martin is calling from Richmond, Kentucky. Martin, welcome to the program. This is your first time calling, right?
Yes, sir.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you. I've been listening to your show for about 3 weeks now. It's wonderful.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm not a religious person. I'm only 25, but I've went to church all my life, been mm-hmm. through Sunday school class.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Did the same. Yes, sir.
I want to know when Jesus decided to tell people to go and murder.
Yeah, never did. Never did. Jesus was a pacifist. Jesus was about love, the kind of love that destroys violence just by being love. But Jesus has been hijacked by these people like Pat Robertson and James Dobson and George Bush and this psychopathic general. Jesus has been turned into a red-eyed, murderous, fanged killer. And if there is any truth, which I do not believe for a second, if there's any truth to the Christian religious mythology, if there is a Christian hell, these people are going to suffer. In the biblical sense, the old kind of Christian Bible-thumping evangelical sense of burning for eternity in a lake of fire, screaming their guts out while Satan sits up on a rock and makes fun of them. That's what's going to happen to people like Oliver North and Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell and George Bush and Dick Cheney and the rest of these religious liars. Because, you don't piss off God and get away with it. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand.
If such a thing exists, and again, I preface that by saying I don't believe a word of it. You know, I absolutely don't. But if these people, you know, there's always a possibility, Martin, that we construct in our minds, these religious fanatics construct somehow in their minds this religious stuff that is so strong that when they die, maybe there is some post-death consciousness that is completely a construct of what they made. Now, since they all of Christianity is based on fear of the devil, every single last drop of it,
yeah,
then it stands to reason that these people are going to have an eternity of the most hellacious discomfort and demons and little pitchforks and things ramming into their body orifices and scaldings and bugs crawling all over and skin peeling off and eyeballs ripped out and nostrils with the flaming pitchforks jammed up them. You get the picture.
I don't understand. I made a mistake when I was young by voting for Bush, but right. I don't understand how people can read the news.
Yeah. And still support this moron.
Well, you're not going to vote for him again, I hope.
Oh, God, no. Anybody
right.
but that.
All right, Martin, thanks for checking. I hope you call in again, pal.
Thank you.
All right, sir. You have a nice evening. Oh, man. Boy, here we are again. Kathy, how many times has this happened in the last couple of weeks where, you know, we have about an hour left in the program. I'm just thinking, man, you know, it's cool here in Atlanta. It gets down to about 40 degrees at night now. And I just want to go home and get some kindling, get the fireplace going, put on a couple of logs, just enough to last maybe an hour and a half, sit there, pour a Jack Black over ice, add a little Diet Coke, and just lock the doors. Turn on either the jazz station or the NPR station at night here. They play classical music. Some nights I'm just too freaked out to listen to classical music because I think, oh, my God, that's 16th, 17th century stuff. Oh, I can't take it. And just sit there and have a drink and watch the fire and just think, man, I really hate talk radio. Because I have to do the research, have to find the articles. And then, you know, well, why don't you get out of it? No, no, I couldn't do that. No, can't do that. Jim is calling from Portland, Oregon. Hey, Jim.
Hi, Mike. Love the show. Love your passion for the topic.
Well, thanks.
I just had a couple things that I wish some Democratic candidate would be able to point out, but it might be the political death of them before the primaries. But just a couple things. I'll be quick. But doesn't the public realize that Bush and Ashcroft and the other religious leaders in the Bush administration, that they're driving the country towards this fundamentalism that has obviously failed, or we perceive it to be a failure, in Iran, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia?
Well,
wouldn't we want to be more progressive, like France or Canada or the Netherlands, where society seems more peaceful and intelligent, and it's not countries we perceive as enemies?
I don't think Americans, to a large extent, well, we're getting an echo here. I don't think Americans, to a large extent, think that way. They don't see, I don't think, these fundamentalists. They don't see it as a contest. Well, let me rephrase that. They do see it as a contest, but they see the Islamic countries as following a false god, just like this general said, that they're really following Satan. That any religion other than Christianity, evangelical fundamentalist Christianity, is a false religion. It's a satanic religion. It's full of demons and bugs and spiders and rotten milk and food that you can't eat. I don't think most Americans who subscribe to this fundamentalist nonsense would think, gee, wouldn't it be nice to be peaceful like Canada, like the UK, like some other place? No. And I think here's the reason. The Bush crime family has done an excellent job of scaring the Christ out of everybody. No pun intended. Just freaking out this entire country. When you have a society as massive and as powerful as this one that gets scared, they'll do one of two things. Either start attacking other countries. Wait a minute, that's going on. Or reverting to this sick religious fundamentalism. We've done it in this country two or three times in the history of this country, and it's always taken us back. It's always destroyed a science. It's retarded our development as a people. It has ended carefully worked out social contract among the citizens. And I have a feeling that it's here again. Most Americans, and I know this is a sweeping generalization, but I'll make it anyway, most Americans who believe this stuff, and I think it's probably the majority of Americans, are terrified. They feel our lives are out of control, thanks to Bush. Imminent war. Downtown Denver could go up in a mushroom cloud. The jobs are disappearing. The immigrants are coming. And don't even get me started on the gays and the Negroes. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I just wish that they could see the hypocrisy of I'm right and everyone else is wrong and my God's the right God, or, you know, or something like that along those lines. And just one last point. I wish they could see that that as Bush and everybody cuts education and health and health care for the vets and social yeah. programs and whatnot, that if Jesus were alive today, if there were a Jesus, if there is a Jesus, he'd be a Democrat. He would not be following Bush's doctrine. He wouldn't be supportive of Bush. And I wish that they could see that. And I wish
yeah.
that were. I wish you could make a bumper sticker of that Jesus the first Democrat or something along those lines.
Yeah, it never happened. You put a bumper sticker like that on the back of your car and you'll be run off the road.
No doubt.
Thanks, Jim.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Well, you know, I've said before on this program, if the Christian Jesus, not Jesus the historical figure, but the Christian Jesus were to come back and see all this nonsense, I honestly believe he would go around pinching heads off of these people, just like you used to do when you were a kid. You know what you did with bugs. Come on, fess up. But the Christian Jesus would start pinching heads off and throwing the heads into hell where little demons would use them as soccer balls. And the heads down there would be bushes and chainies. And, I mean, it just goes on and on. Just a whole bunch of heads just bouncing and ricocheting around hell. You know what I'm saying?
So now as I'm leaving, I'm weary as hell.
It can be, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant maximum strength Mylan's a liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylan's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try maximum strength Mylan's.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you are ready to buy a home, work with someone who worked with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, man, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
Did you pick up your phone book the other day and almost get a hernia because of all the lawyer ads? Do you panic when you turn on the television and there is another lawyer encouraging you to call him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to find out who you can sue and what your rights are? Well, you don't need that anymore. But you know, you don't get your surgeon out of the yellow pages, and you don't need a retainer fee to listen to me. The Legal Huddle is your one-stop radio shop for everything you would ever want to know about the American legal system. I'm Ed Zelenak. I've been a prosecutor, bandleader, foreign diplomat, and advisor to presidential candidates. And as your host of the Legal Huddle, I'm uniquely qualified to answer everything you ever wanted to know about the law but were afraid to ask. And you know, if I don't know the answer, I'll make one up. You can call me with your questions, your comments, your opinions, and your feelings about our judiciary. And you know something? I will never hold you in contempt of court in the Legal Huddle. So join me and a cast of thousands here in the Legal Huddle, Sunday mornings, 9 until 11, on the IE America Radio Network. Did you pick up your phone book the other day and almost get a hernia because of all the lawyer ads? Do you panic when you turn on the television and there is another lawyer encouraging you to call him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to find out who you can sue and what your rights are? Well, you don't need that anymore. But you know, you don't get your surgeon out of the yellow pages, and you don't need a retainer fee to listen to me. The Legal Huddle is your one-stop radio shop for everything you would ever want to know about the American legal system. I'm Ed Zelenak. I've been a prosecutor, band leader, foreign diplomat, and advisor to presidential candidates. And as your host of the Legal Huddle, I'm uniquely qualified to answer everything you ever wanted to know about the law but were afraid to ask. And you know, if I don't know the answer, I'll make one up. You can call me with your questions, your comments, your opinions, and your feelings about our judiciary. And you know something? I will never hold you in contempt of court in the Legal Huddle. So join me and a cast of thousands here in the Legal Huddle, Sunday mornings, 9 until 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
Up to the flying monkey right. It's more of Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. Five before the hour. We're talking about, I hate to control the discussion by saying, well, this is what we're going to talk about. But this General Boykin, this three-star general who sees demons in the sky over Mogadishu and who says God, the American people did not elect George Bush. Well, duh. But that he's in office because God put him in office. A guy who says that Osama and Saddam and they're not the enemy. The enemy is Satan, and that we have a Christian army. This, like I said earlier, this man needs to be taken out of office immediately. And I don't know. Let him go ahead and join the evangelical circuit and say all this crazy crap that he wants to say. But this is a guy who is in a command and control position. He is now in a policy-making position. For God's sake, this is a former CIA guy. This is a former Delta Force guy. This is a guy who there is no question, has worked on wet operations. This is a killer. This is somebody who works so far under the radar, you don't even know he exists until he makes his presence known by traveling the evangelical, Christ-thumping, snake-handling circuit talking about, demons in the sky and monsters under the ground. And, he's going to pick up his RPG and start blowing holes through Satan. Somebody sent me, Claudia, sent me a whole collection here of his comments. This guy's on the record all over the place. He's willing to die for Israel. He says that Ben Franklin and Jefferson and everybody who founded this country based our country on Jewish, or what they called the Israelites or the Hebrews. So what are we? Are we a Christian nation? Are we a Jewish nation? Right? No offense to Jews. You know, most Jews, secular Jews, just stay the hell out of this. They look at these crazy Christians. I've said before, I don't understand how practicing Jews in Israel can make even a spiritual bond, much less a political bond, with fundamentalist Christians in this country who ultimately will slit their throats, will kill them and let their blood run on the streets of Jerusalem. That's part of the plan. That's the Armageddon plan. The Jews will be given a chance, convert, accept Christ, or die. And the ones that don't? Butchery. Utter butchery. That's where we are. I sound like I'm talking about something from, 11th century Middle Europe, don't I? It's crazy. All right, your phone calls when we come back. I've got to go gargle or something. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
To Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
she is. Thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Bantila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Bantila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
President Bush leaned on senators to back his call for nearly $87 billion in reconstruction and military aid to Iraq and Afghanistan, even as some Republicans attempt to make Iraq repay part of the money. The White House has launched a vigorous lobbying effort to kill loan proposals as the Senate and House get ready to vote on the huge spending measure this week. Bush's budget director called on senators of both parties last week to get them to oppose amendments to make part or all of the bill's $20.3 billion in reconstruction funds alone. The administration says a loan would burden Iraq with too much additional debt. Republican Senator Susan Collins of Maine said she did not want U.S. taxpayers saddled with the cost of rebuilding Iraq when the U.S. economy is still fragile. A remote-controlled bomb tore apart an armored vehicle in a U.S. diplomatic convoy Wednesday, killing 3 American security guards and wounding a 4th in an unprecedented attack on a U.S. target in the Palestinian territories. The attack on a convoy of diplomats entering Gaza was a dramatic departure from typical militant operations, which usually target Israeli soldiers and civilians. It was almost certain to lead to greater U.S. pressure for a Palestinian crackdown on militant groups. Labor unrest spread in California on Wednesday as bus drivers walked out in solidarity with striking transit workers. 70,000 grocery clerks from 3 chains spent their 4th day on picket lines, and nearly half of L.A. County Sheriff's deputies called in sick Wednesday. Criminal prosecutors at the Justice Department and top FBI officials have privately criticized Attorney General John Ashcroft for failing to recuse himself or appoint a special prosecutor to investigate the leak of a CIA operative's identity. The criticism reflects the first sign of dissension in the department and the FBI as the inquiry nears a critical phase. The Attorney General must decide whether to convene a grand jury, which could compel White House officials to testify. Mr. Ashcroft and Alberto Gonzalez, White House counsel, have also been under fire for their initial handling of the case. The Justice Department allowed the White House to wait overnight on September 28th before sending notification ordering White House employees not to destroy records related to the leak. More news after this.
If you play your guitar on 10, then we strongly recommend that you talk to the folks in here. They will make it clear that the ringing in your ears, ooh, is something to be feared. It will probably is your friend.
A wayward deer entered a clothing store in Linden, New Jersey, and wandered around for more than an hour Monday before it was shot with tranquilizer darts by police. The full-grown antlered buck was expected to be returned to the woods once the tranquilizers wore off. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
While Mike was putting up his own for sale sign, someone was helping his neighbors, John and Diane, with plans to sell their home. As Mike spent Saturday figuring out legal agreements and guessing his home's value, Someone was preparing a counteroffer so John could help at the school fundraiser. And while Mike and his wife were reevaluating their asking price for the third time, someone was closing the sale on John and Diane's home. Work with someone who will work with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life.
The rabid partisans of the Republican far right truly loathe Senator Paul Wellstone, the spirited and popular Minnesota progressive who died in a plane crash last year. In a testament to their partisan loathing, Minnesota right-wingers have put out an ugly post-mortem bumper sticker that angrily says of Wellstone, "He's dead. Get over it." But Paul, or at least his spirit, just won't die. Indeed, Paul and his wife Sheila, who also died in the crash, are now the rallying point of an important and exciting organizing effort to carry their spirit and policies into a long-term campaign to build a progressive future for our country. It's called Wellstone Action, and it literally is taking action to bring power back to America's grassroots. Among modern political figures, Wellstone was unique, for instead of throwing all of his campaign funds at pollsters, consultants, and TV ads, he put a big percentage into grassroots organizing. He and his staffers ran a series of weekend political boot camps called Camp Wellstone, where they trained thousands of volunteers, campaign managers, and future candidates. By strengthening the civic skills of on-the-ground people, Paul strengthened his own populist base, enhanced democracy, and extended the framework for an ongoing progressive movement. Now, the good people who worked with Paul and Sheila are continuing this democracy-building effort by taking the Camp Wellstone concept national. Wellstone Action is holding 9 or so intensive training camps this year in Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania, with about 20 Camp Wellstones planned cross-country next year. If they build it, people will come, for folks are thirsting for community and a politics that matters, and this is one political effort that genuinely puts people first. This is Jim Hightower saying, to connect to Camp Wellstone, call 651-645-3939.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I didn't think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, no.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. If the topic is getting a little bit boring, okay, we can move on. But if you want to talk about it, because this sort of thing, the intersection of the military and religious fundamentalism has always fascinated me. If I could go back and do it all over again, I think I would want to work in an academic environment where I studied military / religious history, because in my unformally educated self, I do know that that intersection is just littered with corpses. I've said before on this program, that my reading of history, and it's not limited, I may not have a degree, certainly not an advanced degree, but I've tried to read, like most of you have, tried to study. My reading of history leads me to understand, not to believe, but to understand that the depravity that's been committed on this planet in the name of some god or some religion is it's just the scope of that depravity is just astonishing. Now, it's not just physical death that's been brought about, but intellectual death. emotional death, true spiritual development. All of this stuff has been just butchered, slaughtered, just trampled on. And I think through most of recorded history, I may be wrong, because I am a product of the West, so to speak, white Northern Europe. But through most of history, it seems like the Christian faith has the most egregious record here. I don't know. Maybe somebody will say, no, you're wrong, Mike. Check out Hinduism and look at the corpses there. Check out Islam. Maybe so. I don't know. But it seems to me that Christianity is the most organized Christian. The Christian religion, I am not talking about the preachings or the what did Christ give? Four sermons? Three? Four? That's it? I'm talking about the perversion of his message. But it's astonishing to me, just mind-boggling to understand. You know, I know that Stalin was, forget World War II, Stalin was responsible for 20 million deaths in the collectivization of what became the Soviet Union. I know that Mao was responsible for God knows how many deaths, but I also know that religious ideology of the extreme sort is also responsible. And again, not just deaths on a battlefield necessarily, but because of the ignorance. Think of the deaths from plagues, because disease was seen as a curse from God or Satan, and people who tried to bring forth the scientific method early on, who tried to explain what we came to know as a germ theory, were hanged upside down on wooden crosses and burned at the stake for their blasphemy. And it just goes on and on and on and on. So when I consider that and then see that we have a three-star general who is apparently just butt buddies with Donald Rumsfeld. Rumsfeld hired him, stuck him in this position to develop intel on Osama and Saddam. And this freak says that Osama and Saddam are not the problem. The problem is Satan is stalking the earth, and it will take a Christian army. And that Muslims are worship idols. And there's debate as to whether or not this psychopath should be in uniform. And you got to ask the question, why did Rumsfeld promote him to Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence? Why? What kind of intelligence, quote, quote, might a religious psychopath discover? That there are demons in the caves of Afghanistan? Little pointy-nosed, tailed, cloven-hoofed demons who are carrying little vials of anthrax? What? This makes as much sense as putting that other uber-Christian lunatic, Ashcroft, in charge of the Justice Department. What sort of justice, Ashcroft? Huh? If your child smart mouths you, you're supposed to take your child to the village square and kill him. Butcher her. Ashcroft once, didn't he say one time that there would be no Department of Justice eventually because Armageddon is right around the corner, and God will be the Department of Justice, right? It was one thing to look at some of these crazies that operated in the Reagan administration, like James Watt, the Secretary of Interior, who said, why save the trees? You know, Christ is coming back, and there'll be a hail of fire and brimstone when Armageddon, so why bother? Jesus, it's just, this kind of stuff upsets me because, again, the intersection of religion and military history, religious history, and military history, or that might not be the right way to put it, religion and war, is an intersection littered with corpses, just stacked up like cordwood. And again, it's not just physical death that has been brought to this planet by these religious freaks. Emotional death, intellectual death, or stillborn, maybe not even death. Thought, rationality, advancement, science, stillborn, killed in the cradle, butchered, because it might offend some cloud being. Ah! Okay, I'm sorry. Lynn is calling from Buffalo, New York. Hey, Lynn.
How you doing tonight, Mike?
Doing fine, thank you.
Oh, I was listening for a long time. It's a good thing I have a cell phone. It don't cost anything.
There you go.
Yeah, well, you know, I have almost everybody that knows me knows I tell them this story quite frequently, and it's when I was about 3 years old, I was taken to a Catholic church, and they did the Stations of the Cross thing where they go around the church, and it's kind of a pageantry-like affair, I would say.
Right.
And I was about three, and I was watching this for, I don't know quite how long, but it was about halfway through or something like that. The woman that took me, you know, she was a friend of the family. She was a fair and decent woman, you know. To this day, she's 83. But and I was listening to it and watching it and taking it in, and it started, you know, occurring to me like 1/4 of the way through and two thirds, and I said, "This isn't true. What is this?"
Yeah.
You know, I said, "This can't be true." And I said, "If God had a son, he wouldn't be killing him. I mean, what is all this about God having a son?"
Right. So it just it didn't register in your young mind even back then.
Oh, and I tugged on her shirt because I thought, what are we, you know, what's going on here, you know? And I tugged on her shoulder and shirt. No, I remember I reached up, and I'm tall. I'm like 5'7", and she's only 5'5". So imagine how small I must have been to tug on her shirt sleeve. And I says, "I don't think this is true." I said, "If God had a son, he wouldn't kill his son. And and how could Jesus be? What is this?" And I said, do you think God would have a son and kill his son? And she looked at me, and she bit her lip, and I'll never forget her face. And she looked at me, and she shook her head, and she whispered, she said, "No," like that to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And then from that point on, I felt that the best thing to do was to trust my own instinct. And not to have somebody pull me in any direction.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to go. Lynn, let me move on here. I got a bunch of people stacked up. Thanks for checking in. I do appreciate your call. Andy is calling from Seattle. Andy, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. How you doing tonight?
Doing fine, sir.
Okay, put your tinfoil hat on.
Okay, it's on.
Okay. Do you remember when Bush? Now this goes to the general because he's getting his marching orders from Bush, right?
Okay. Well, I wonder sometimes, but let's stipulate that that's the case. All right, go ahead.
All right, well, check this out. Remember when Bush landed on the aircraft carrier and got off and he gave his big, long speech, and then at the end he said, and in the words of the prophet Isaiah,
right,
"To the captives come out, and to those in darkness be free."
Right.
All right? In one of the Gospels of Christ, in one of his sermons, in one of his talks that he gave to the disciples, he said that specific quote, okay, would be used by the deceiver, the Antichrist.
Right. I remember.
Okay?
I remember this discussion subsequent to Bush saying that. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're all weird. Okay.
Well,
they're whacked.
They're whacked. If we accept the Bible as literal, like so many fundamentalists do, then George W. Bush is in fact the Antichrist.
Exactly.
And why isn't Pat Robertson or Jerry Falwell broadcasting this all over the planet so people can run and hide and shriek and fall down in the mud and you know, just disappear?
Well, see, that's the thing. You know, I was raised Lutheran, Catholic life. You know,
right.
None of the saints, all the guilt. But you know, it's Satan was the great deceiver. You know, he lies and twists things around, and the Antichrist is going to be, you know, exactly like Christ, except he comes to deceive and destroy, whereas Christ came to give life.
Right.
Okay. Now, I know all this because I was raised, like I said, Lutheran, and this is rote stuff to me.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole Armageddon thing, yeah, they're absolutely pushing it right now.
Oh,
But see, Falwell and Robertson and those ilk, those are the false prophets. They're the, you know, the everything that Christ did, the Antichrist will do. So those are the false prophets. Mm-hmm. I see right through all those people.
Well, you know, I've always had a suspicion that if you snuck up behind Jerry Falwell or Pat Robertson when they were standing, say, behind a lectern or a podium, a preaching or whatever, if you snuck up behind them and reached up and pull pull their pants down, there would be a tail.
Oh, sure.
Sticking out from where you and I and most human beings have a vestigial tail, just the tail bone, they would have a tail, and that tail would be about, it would uncurl when you pulled their pants down, it would uncurl, it would be about 4 feet long, it would have a huge hook on the end of it, and it would be covered with bugs and maggots, and it would be scaly. I just have a feeling that if you pulled down the pants of James Dobson, Pat Robertson, Jerry Falwell, or any of these fundamentalist evangelicals, you will find that scaly tail. You think that might be the case?
Oh, I absolutely agree. They're shapeshifters.
Yeah, okay, shapeshifters, now. Right. Well, let me put you on hold a second. we'll finish up when we come back. Shapeshifters, I like that, yeah. Excuse me, shapeshifters, and we have to walk from this bunker out to the car in the dark, right, Kathy? Ah!
Of darkness any longer.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Tom Hartman Show.
The computerized voting machines in the last election, our question is the theft of your vote. On our chat room here, Brain Shrub points out that H is the 8th letter of the alphabet, A is the 1st letter of the alphabet. So if you take that 18181, the exact number of votes that 3 different candidates in one county in Texas got on these computerized voting machines, and you simply convert it to letters, it becomes... Is it a conspiracy or a coincidence?
Okay, first of all, I wanted to say congratulations. We were elected to the White House by one of the narrowest margins in history. 63% of registered voters.
Wait a second. You wanted me to poll registered voters?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk. Not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday. For Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a block.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
Yes, I'm calling about
about the Michael Loy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This crusade, this war on terrorism,
kill the infidel.
800 talk yes is the number. We're talking with Andy, who has called in from Seattle. Okay.
Okay. The second point I was going to make is Nostradamus.
Mm-hmm.
Called the third, you know, he called Hitler Hister, and he named Napoleon by his
right, right.
by his colors, or
so
and he called
so
the third,
read.
Yeah, and he called the third Antichrist Mabus, M-A-B-U-S, and it's like it's an anagram, because if you take the G and the W and reverse them and flip them over, you get G-W-B-U-S. And in French, the H would be implied. So, G.W. Bush.
All right.
There you go. My tinfoil hat theory for the night.
Yeah, you did tell me to put on my tinfoil hat. That's pretty bizarre. That is indeed. Thanks, Andy.
Have a good night, Mike.
All right, sir. You too. Appreciate you checking in. Raymond is calling from Cement City, Michigan. Raymond, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine, sir.
Well, everybody asked the same question. But, hey, listen, you know... there's good news and there's bad news in this whole thing. You know, this general is just an example of this whole administration. It's kind of like based on a fundamentalist group.
Yeah, really.
And the good news about that is that fundamentalist groups tend to fall apart because they fraction out into different groups because they have different opinions.
Well, I don't think that's necessarily the case, though, with this freaky branch of Christianity. If you look back through religious history, you know, go back as far as you want, Christian religious history, go all the way back to the time when Rome became the Holy Roman Empire. I mean, go back to the year, what was it, 250, 300 A.D., there have always been fundamentalists of the psychopathic stripe in the Christian faith, and they don't seem to go away. They seem to metastasize. They seem to maybe submerge for a generation or two, but when they come back with a vengeance.
Well, yeah, I kind of agree with where you're going with that, but my point is they all seem to get some different opinions, and then they fractionalize. And the good news part of it is you got an opportunity to get in, and while they're breaking up, I think the problem that I have is this: and look at the situation with this administration full of these fundamentals, whatever. And I keep wondering, will this happen before it gets to the point where will they give up power if there's an election that
mm-hmm.
says that they're not in power? I think that's the scary thing.
Well, I think you're right. I think there is a lot of suppressed fear on the part of thinking people. That would be liberals and Democrats and even a few moderates. There's a lot of suppressed fear. A lot of people don't want to discuss this. What do we do in a society that has had a peaceful transition of government to government since we became a country? We've never had a military overthrow. We have never had a civilian overthrow. Now, one can make the case that what happened in 2000 approached it. It was a coup, but it was engineered by, for heaven's sake, the judicial branch of our government. But if we set aside the last presidential election and the results, the phony results of it back in 2000, this country has always made a peaceful transition. Whoever has been in power has given up the power to the person who succeeded him in the executive branch. I think you're right. I think you're very much onto something, Raymond. And I think a lot of people are concerned about this, that peaceful transition to power is not going to occur again because these people are crazy. Raymond, I got a boogie. Thank you very much for checking in, pal. I appreciate hearing from you. All right, quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Reach out and touch faith. Your own personal Jesus. Someone to hear your prayers. Someone who cares. Your own personal Jesus. Someone to hear.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Some subway cars follow a route to the bottom of the sea, and the new riders are fish and mollusks. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Tiny sea creatures and fish make homes on rocks and reefs, and people sometimes try to help them out by sinking other things that will serve the same purpose. Old ships and subway cars are just a few kinds of scrap that people deliberately put out to sea to make new homes for marine life. Bill Muir is a national expert on marine pollution with the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. He says people once tried to make artificial reefs out of some questionable material. Things like refrigerators ended up damaging natural reefs and not helping the marine life. The government now has guidelines to be sure people treat the seabed as a resource instead of a dump. Muir has led programs to clean and sink things like retired army tanks and subway cars. He says they can create a reef that will attract sea plants and grazing fish.
The fish are actually grazing on it as you would have in a wooded environment where you might have the deer grazing on the nearby foliage in a woods.
Earlier this year, the state of New Jersey started a project to sink as many as 250 old subway cars from New York off its shores. Prior to the sinking, the cars are stripped of all plastic, degradable materials, and grease to avoid contamination of the marine ecosystem. Muir says sunken subway cars often become homes for mussels. Mussels feed by filtering organic material out of the water, and Muir says the mussel beds sometimes improve water quality and clarity at the same time. Muir says artificial reef programs like this are common around the world. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
So if you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You're now entering a flying monkey-free zone. Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Hey, our got an email here from our music bureau chief, Jim in Arkansas, and he wants me to welcome LW at the Ranch to the show. Welcome to the show, LW at the Ranch. Absolutely. Hey, that takes us up to what now, Kathy? 35 listeners? We're doing pretty good. Huh? Kim is calling, one of our over-the-road truckers, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio, driving through Jackson, Tennessee. Hey, Kim.
Yeah. I guess I was listening to your comments about the, what is it, the general?
Yeah, General Boykin, Jerry Boykin.
I'll tell you what, you know, when I was a child, my mother passed on a story to me that my grandfather told her when she was a child.
Uh-huh.
He was a seer. He could see things in the future. In fact, it got depressing for him. I hate to say this, but he committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And he left a note. He just couldn't handle it, the things he saw. And he told her that tyranny was going to come to this country, draped in the American flag, marching behind the Bible.
Well, we're there.
Yeah. And I've told this story to other talk show hosts prior to 9/11.
Yeah.
Right after King George was nominated.
Right.
And they accepted the bit about draped in the American flag, but, you know, nobody wants to admit anything about marching behind the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But based on everything we've heard in the past few days, especially about the fact that he likes to call himself J.C.,
right.
And or be called J.C.,
yeah.
And the fact that he supposed, what was it, he told Sharon that God spoke to him about invading Iraq.
And Afghanistan.
Yes, and Afghanistan.
Yeah.
I think we're pretty close.
I think you're right, Kim.
See, and I'm like you. You know, I don't advertise, and nobody, you'd have to look awfully hard to find my defense mechanisms.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to go silently into the night like my others of my family did during Nazi Germany.
Yeah, well, that I hear that loud and clear, Kim. You know, that's why I keep saying on this program, and I'm not trying to be funny or cute or ironic. I think anybody in this country who truly is aware of what this gang is doing and what obviously they have in mind, you will go to your local police department, and most local police departments have firing ranges, and they have weapons training. You will get yourself a weapon. You will learn how to use it. You'll learn how to use it under supervision of the county sheriff or here in the county I live in. They have firearms training and a police pistol range or rifle range where you can, get training.
Right.
And I have no doubt that this would be a wise thing to do. Just that's how I feel.
No, and I'll tell you something. I'm one of these guys, and I let people know very strongly. I'm not looking for a fight.
No, neither am I. I just want to live my life.
You know,
yeah, I just
want, because I don't want anybody, starting with John Ashcroft, misconstruing.
Right.
And using that as an excuse to, shall I say, haul us up.
Yeah, we live in interesting times, Kim.
You know.
All
right. I'll tell you one other thing, though.
Okay.
But I feel very strongly that we need to be ready and be prepared.
Yes. I was a Boy Scout, and that was our motto, be prepared.
That's it.
Thanks, Kim. Drive safely, sir. I appreciate you checking in. And another thing, talk about religious terrorism. How about Pat Robertson? Why isn't Pat Robertson in Guantanamo in a dog cage? He threatened to use a nuclear weapon against the State Department. Right? He was interviewing this other psychopath, Joel Mowbray, who has written a book called Dangerous Diplomacy, How the State Department Endangers America's Security. Doesn't that sound like something out of the 50s, like a John Birch Society tract? But anyway, on his program, well, we talked about this. You all heard this. Robertson said, I read your book, and when you get through reading it, you say, if I could just get a nuclear device inside Foggy Bottom, State Department headquarters, I think that's the answer. And then Robertson went on. He said, I mean, you get through this and you say, we've got to blow that thing up. Now, when somebody pointed out to him this jackass freak, what he had just said, of course, Robertson is the anointed. You know, he can do anything he wants to. He can cut deals with dictators in various African countries to get their diamonds and pay them off with weapons and Kalashnikovs and AK-47s. That's what Pat Robertson does. He's a gun runner. He's a gun smuggler. He deals in poverty, death, and disease. He's laying up his fortune here on earth, and he's going to burn in hell until there is no hell, right? You know that's going to happen. But he was questioned about this, and he later amended his statement. He said, well, you know, I mentioned the question of nuking the State Department. Mr. Mowbray did not use the term nuke. He said it should be gutted, and I think we ought to make that clear. Joel did not say nuke the State Department, so we've changed. We're not going to nuke it, but we're going to gut it. All right, now, nobody said anything about Joel. You jackass, you're talking about what came out of your curled little lips. So, we don't want to nuke it, we want to gut it. Oh, okay. When something's gutted, isn't it usually burned beyond recognition? It's fire, guts? Yeah, okay. All right, let's take a look at Robertson's statement here where it concerns the Patriot Act, the USA Patriot Act. Now, Glenn Anderson posted this at Bart Kopp's site, so I stole this. Section 802 of the Patriot Act states that a group is deemed to be engaged in domestic terrorism if it, quote, appears to be intended to intimidate or coerce a civilian population, to influence the policy of a government by intimidation or coercion, or to affect the conduct of a government by mass destruction, assassination, or kidnapping, and occurs primarily within the territorial jurisdiction of the United States, end quote. Would you not agree that Pat Robertson's call to nuclear bomb or gut the State Department is a textbook example of what Section 802 of the USA Patriot Act is referring to? Wouldn't you kind of maybe come to that conclusion? Eh? Now, if you come on this program, or if I, or if you post something at my website, and my militant mods will remove it immediately, if you were to post something at my website that said, you know, we got to drop a nuclear bomb on the State Department, that statement would be removed as fast as one of our moderators could remove it, because that statement could put my ass in serious legal jeopardy under the USA Patriot Act. And yours, because they would know you posted it. If you were to come on this program and make a statement like that, you would be visited probably within 24 hours by somebody from the Secret Service or the Justice Department or someplace wanting to know what you were about. Come here, let's talk. That sort of thing. But Pat Robertson can advocate, and let's not play games here. When Pat Robertson says something to his ditto head like people who listen to the 700 Club, he's advocating. And they know it. And he knows it. He's a power mad little tyrant. He's a Christ killer, a Christ defiler. He spits on the cross. He spits on the Ten Commandments. This man is deeply, deeply evil. Not flawed, not sick like Limbaugh. This man is deeply evil. And when he says something, his followers, you know, I think that'd be a good idea. So maybe we should. I got a friend who goes to the gun shows. He can get me a flamethrower. And then you see what I'm talking about? But Pat Robertson? Eh. The Weasley bastard will be out there tomorrow making his pitch for his money, using the blood of Christ, the death of Christ, to collect money from people. Hmm? Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? Isn't that the mark of a true Christian? No, of course not. It's the mark of a demon. I mean, as long as we're talking this way tonight, what the hell? This general brought this crap up, you know, a demon-haunted world, and Satan is living in the mountains of Afghanistan, and he sees demons flying around the sky in Mogadishu. God!
God. Well, let's just go there then.
Right? Man, you know what we need to do this this week in Kathy is go rent The Exorcist again. I just love that part where her head spins around and she blows green puke all over the priest. Man, that is a spooky movie. That's what we need to do. I'm so in the mood for a rerun of The Exorcist. I wish I could afford to send a copy to this general and say, General Boykin, guess what, man? I agree. We are surrounded. Man, what are we going to do? There's one behind you. Kill him! There's one up there. There's another one. There's one over there. Oh, Jesus, they're swinging through the trees. Watch out. Here they come. Ah, they're in your shoes. Oh, my God, they're going up your pants leg. Blah! Blah! No? Dave is calling from Silverdale, Washington. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Mike. Hey, along with the practice at the gun range, don't forget to carry garlic. it appears we'll need it.
Is encapsulated refined garlic considered okay? Because, you know, when I leave the house in the afternoon, I usually have I take, you know, about 5-6 different vitamins and supplements a day just for the hell of it. I think I'm going to live longer. And one of the things I take is garlic.
I take one a day myself.
Yeah. Now, does that count, or does it have to be cloves of fresh garlic to keep these beasts away?
You know what? I don't know if it's the garlic or what, Mike, but I do notice that right-wingers tend to stay away from me. So maybe they've just heard my rant and know that I don't play games.
Well, that's probably the reason. I doubt if the garlic has anything to do with it. They're probably scared to death of you.
I hope so. They should be, by the way.
Right.
But they shouldn't be in fear of their lives. All they have to lose are their ignorant superstitions.
There you go.
They run up against me, unless they want to take it someplace else. But what I want to say is, unfortunately, I think it's worse than we even know, because not only do you have people like Boykin, but you have Rumsfeld has basically promoted a whole cadre of military people mm-hmm. who are essentially unfit to be in the positions they're in. Very few of them actually served in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
They don't seem to subscribe to the same sense of ethics and thought that came out of the Vietnam era. And I have the utmost respect for a lot of the military leaders I've met
mm-hmm.
who came out of that era. They are thoughtful, careful, intellectual people. They are incredible. And I have the utmost respect for a lot of them. But he seems to be promoting people whose one common thread is that they are crass ideologues. And I happen to believe, too, that him and Cheney are the actual co-presidents of this country, and that Junior, they found a guy dumb enough to not even know that he happens to be along for the ride.
I think that's the case more and more. I think George W. Bush is an evil little bastard, but I don't think he is intelligent enough to manipulate the UN, to manipulate our former allies like Germany, France, to manipulate foreign leaders. He's just not that bright. Maybe intelligence is not the right word. He's not that bright. But Cheney and Rumsfeld and Wolfowitz and Pearl, people inside the government and outside the government, Condoleezza Rice, these people have forgotten more than George Bush will ever know if he lived to be 500 years old. So I'm starting. And I don't take anything away from George Bush's ignorance or his evilness, his stupidity. But I think you're right. I think he is, to a certain degree, he's a frontal piece. He's a figurehead. He's being manipulated beyond belief.
Absolutely. And you know, the one thing I'll leave you with this thought before I go. The one thing when the Christian Europe was in the Dark Ages, basically mired in just in savagery and ignorance. There were thriving universities in Africa and the Muslim world, and it was the Enlightenment. It was rational thought that pulled us out of that.
Had it not been for Islam as a repository or a reservoir of the collected knowledge at the time, whether it was math or astronomy or medicine or the concept of zero or whatever it was. Had it not been for these Islamic scholars, Northern Europeans would still be devouring each other and hanging people on crosses and setting them on fire. Thank God Islamic scholars existed.
Absolutely. And now we have leaders who literally detest enlightenment and rational thought and want to take us back into darkness. And one more thought before I go.
Okay.
You said you wanted to send Pat Robertson to Gitmo, and I'm not against that, but, you know, why do you want to ruin a perfectly okay place?
You know? Well, you're heading that way, aren't you?
I know. You know, what have I ever done to you that you want to do that to me?
I'm terribly sorry.
Okay, Mike, thanks.
Thanks for checking in, Dave. Yeah, I forgot when I said that our friend Dave is on a secret mission down there. Armand is calling from Bradenton, Florida. Armand, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Mike.
Armand.
Remember the last mass murderer that in his own mind he thought he was chosen by God?
Clue me in. Who?
Jim Jones.
Oh, Jim Jones. Okay.
That's a perfect example of what can happen. Can you imagine a guy like Jim Jones getting in to be like this weasel we have for president? Or
hey, let me put you, Armand, let me put you on hold. We've got a break here. I'll come back and we'll finish this up in just a second. I think more than a fear of another Jim Jones, I'm afraid of another Timothy McVeigh. And if you read the correspondence between Timothy McVeigh and Gore Vidal, you come to a horrific conclusion. But Timothy McVeigh was lashing out at the lies of his government because of what he experienced in Iraq.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a
more tissues.
Sleep like a
cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh. So you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a twinkle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
I'm
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple. Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show, where we serve you food with attitude, plus a heaping helping of humor.
And a playful pinch of romance.
It's all about food, family, and fun.
We'll help you juggle kids, kitchen, career, health, and relationships with passion and commitment.
We cover everything from new product reviews and consumer information to quick, simple, and easy recipes just for the two of you.
Plus parenting tips and tricks.
Cooking advice to save time and money.
Nutrition news and healthier living.
Entertainment options for the whole family.
And how to tag team manage kids, career, life, and relationships.
Plus, I'll tell you how to train your in-laws so they don't become outlaws.
So tune in every Sunday from 12 noon to 2 right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, tofu, and you.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Restoring balance to talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, we are talking with who are we talking with? Armand in Bradenton, Florida. Armand, thanks for holding on. Go ahead.
Well, Mike, I agree that the MCV types are a genuine threat and they can cause destruction. However, I believe in a society or a culture, especially ours, with the power we have and capability, militarily speaking, that psycho-religious leaders have far more potential in causing massive destruction than even the Bay types.
Well, I guess in the larger sense that's very true. But what I'm saying is you take somebody like a Timothy McVeigh, or let's assume that the people who engineered the attack on this country on September 11th were they were involved in this country before they attacked it. As a result of McVeigh's murderous attack in Oklahoma, we had a precursor to the USA Patriot Act. Under the Clinton administration, it wasn't defined that way. It was a revamping, though, of certain federal laws. I forget what it was called, the Federal Terrorism Act of 1997 or whatever the hell it was. But there were all sorts of restrictions. Now, we didn't debate it then because I think we didn't know. I mean, nobody was reporting. The Clinton administration was the first to begin. Now, it was nowhere near as far-reaching, draconian, fascist, whatever word you want to term use there, as what the Bush crime family has done. So the point I was trying to make is that a Timothy McVeigh, who at one point I believed he was just a muddle-headed, malicious, religio-right-wing freak, and that he committed his act of mass murder out of that sensibility or lack thereof. I still think he was that, but he was more than that, I think, after reading the letters that went back and forth between McVeigh and Gore Vidal when McVeigh was waiting to be executed. If you read those letters, and we're out of time, thanks for checking in, Armand. If you read those letters, you will come to possibly some very upsetting conclusions. Program engineered tonight in Detroit by Charlotte Jones, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. Thanks to Mark Marshall, Maximum Interactive, for our website and our moderators there. And congratulations to one of our posters, Spitfire. Hit 5,000 posts today on our message board. And always, Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief, thank you. I'll see you tomorrow night, I hope. I really hope. I really, really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
To see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy